Welcome to a Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Without any intention whatever to misrepresent young people, there are two words I want to suggest that describe so many young people today. These words are underestimated and unprepared. Now, neither convey derision of our youth. One refers to an error that many of those of us who are older make regarding young people, and the other refers to something often lacking in young people. It is a shortcoming often found among older people as well. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33, we read these words. David said to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock." Now this statement was made by David during the time when Goliath was challenging Israel. David had come to the camp with supplies for his brothers, but he heard and he saw the defiant giant. Even though nobody was willing to accept Goliath's challenge, David offered himself to fight him. And Saul's reaction was, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth." In other words, on the basis of age, Saul would have denied David the opportunity to defend Israel and to save God's people. Saul considered David unprepared for such a fight. Because David was young, Saul underestimated him. Now, possibly Saul's evaluation of David would have been correct with many of the youthful people of Israel. But David was different. And how was he different? Friend, David had faith in God, and he put his trust in him. He had been taught, and he had learned, to walk in the paths of righteousness rather than to lean on his own wisdom, his own power and ability and talent. He leaned on God. Now, we know the outcome of the conflict between David and Goliath. And what of our young people? Do we discount them and disqualify them too quickly, simply because they are young? Have we underestimated them? Are they as unprepared as we think? Now, if they are we not the ones responsible for their preparation? There is a way for them to be prepared for the life that they must live, and it lies to a great extent with those of us to whom their cares has been entrusted to assist them in their preparation. Now, while some young people do not wish to admit it, few of them realize how dependent they are on the older generation. Often older people are not as aware as they ought to be just how dependent young people are on the aged. It is obvious that many young people are not prepared to serve God, and they are not being prepared. Someone has said, "Never has one generation of youth been told so much that they are so superior, and yet at the same time are they so ill-equipped to really meet life and live it successfully as God would have them to live it." Another has said, "Seldom does one see a generation that considers itself to know so much and to be so wise, and yet manifests such ignorance of things that really matter and behave so foolishly." Well, whether these estimates are valid or not, we do not wish to argue. Possibly there may be some overstatement in them, but probably much truth lies in there. Each generation needs to be prepared for life before God. If the young are underestimated and unprepared, surely a great portion of the blame rests on those who have gone before them. And our lesson will center itself on the responsibility of the older generation. Now we see all around such evidence of moral and spiritual decay in the rock and roll culture, with drugs, unwed mothers, pornography, drunkenness, every sort of antisocial behavior. Now these may be extremes and don't represent all youth, to be sure. But there's a real concern for the less extreme because so many youths are without moral standards. They're wandering about without spiritual guidance and restraint that is essential to the building of a noble character. And this is not because there is no standard, but the standard is being ignored. We have several decades of degeneracy being promoted on a large scale, and the fruits of it are being witnessed everywhere. What is sown must be reaped, dear friend. And the harvest is becoming of much concern because of the very fiber of the nation seems to be unraveling. Young people, though bearing some of the fault for this condition, have been let down by many of the older generation. They have been let down at home. Many have houses, but not good homes. Parental delinquency breeds juvenile delinquency. Friend, neither money or social standing or any such thing as that is an adequate substitute for a good home that is governed by spiritual guidance, emphasizing spiritual qualities. There's a lack of discipline, many parents not knowing where their children are or what they are doing. Used or granted liberties usually extended only to adults, and the young are proving themselves incapable of handling these freedoms because they have neither matured nor are they instructed as to how to choose between right and wrong. American youth has been butchered by divorce and unwed parents, and parental neglect, the selfishness of parents who seek their own welfare without regard to the effect on their children. American homes have let down American youth in so many instances. But we move forward. The schools have not been what they should be. Secularism and materialism has captured the educational scene on every level with few exceptions. The motive for learning is money and power and self, not service. Education has been separated from the guidance of God and morality to the point that we have vast hordes of educated animals. There is probably no place where the faith of Christ has been under attack more than in the public and many private school systems of this nation, and that for several decades. Humanism is the guidepost. That many are becoming aware of the deficiencies of the school system is one of the hopeful signs for future improvement. But too much emphasis is upon better buildings and better equipment and better curriculum, with a continued negative attitude toward proper behavior. And youths have been let down by churches. Why are so many young people anti-religious? It is partly because religion has shown so little influence in the lives of older people. It is because Christianity has been so polluted with human doctrines and hypocrisy that the true faith is only discovered with great difficulty. Churches have become so secular and political, recreational and social and economic, that they have abandoned the role of emphasizing God and His Word in salvation and the need of being cleansed from sin. Young people are let down when they are not taught and not shown the proper attitude toward honest labor. We have built a welfare state where many expect handouts and think it is their right to get them, feeling cheated if they do not receive them. To rear a person to think that the world owes him a living is to maim him for life. And so many want to do as little as possible, having no aspiration to anything higher than just getting by and getting it easily. Honesty, doing a good job, these are not the goals of many young people. As one has said, the first thing many young people want to know about a job is the pay, how much vacation, when can they retire, and with how much. Too many never think about what service they can render in life, or being a benefit in their work for others, even earning so they can help. Slothfulness and slackness has been the hit calling of many. And this parasite attitude, it has eaten away at the core of honest endeavor. And the nation crawls with human leeches who contribute nothing, but who seek to siphon away the lifeblood of others who do work. And many young people have been misled to think that a high standard of living is the ultimate goal of life and success. Who has learned that enough is as bountiful as abundance? People feel cheated if they do not have all that they want. They seem to think, in spite of the words of Jesus, that a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. In spite of the teaching of Jesus that man does not live by bread alone, some seem to think that, why, we must have, we must get what other people have in an abundance. Some, like the rich fool of Luke 12, they think all is well simply because they have plenty, and they waste themselves and their resources just like the prodigal of Luke chapter 15. But has the older generation given them the right example to follow? The young people do not, and they do not own the television stations. They don't instigate the programs. They don't control the radios and the movies and the newspapers. Who owns and operates the bar rooms and the taverns and the liquor stores and the pornography magazines? Who is really responsible for the teaching that results in the flood of violence and vulgarity and immorality and murder and death so commonplace in our society? Can that be blamed on the youth? Or are the young people more often the dupes which are the victims of the ploys of older ones who seek money any way they can get it? For money, American adults have sponsored the vilest corruption the world has known and exploited the youth in getting it. But this gives us sufficient scenes of our present reality. Reviewing shortcomings alone is of little value unless we seek and follow some constructive steps to make our young people modern-day Davids capable of facing modern-day Goliaths. Every Christian should sense his own duty in this matter. Churches should attack the problem with vigor and with determination. Parents must first make their homes Christian homes with respect for the Bible and prayer, and with God-given foundations upon which a young person, boy or girl, can build the right kind of life. Sincerity, love, insistence on obedience, teaching, showing the right way, this can accomplish good for our young people, the good that they must hear and see. And how to turn the school's negative influence is hard to prescribe, because so much of the power of the educational system lies in the hands of those who have little to no respect for God and His Word. The hypocrisy rampant in the school systems operated by those who say they are Christians is also a gigantic barrier to a good education. Nelson Bell once wrote, "Where godless teachers scoff at the Christian faith, and in other words try to undermine religion, they should be dismissed for contributing to the delinquency of minors." And friend, this should include teachers and others connected with education. With this thought, we would concur. But our diversified society makes this positive and constructive move very difficult to achieve. Everybody seemingly has his right to curse God, but those who choose to serve God are being cut down in the educational systems. Many have sought schools operated by men and women of faith instead of what the state offers. And this has historically been beneficial. But sadly, often today, even some of these schools are contaminated with professors and leaders who have drunk deeply from the same foul waters of others and delight in passing along the doctrine that the old fogey past must be uprooted and it must be replaced with a so-called knowledge of the modern-day, often skeptical, so-called scholar. How many years it will take before people get their eyes open and see the fruit being born cannot be predicted, but may God hasten the day. Now, you may have noticed a lack of scriptures thus far in this lesson. We have been observing the situation as it exists. But the one primary essential passage relevant to this discussion is Proverbs 22 and verse 6. "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Training is the key to preparing. The home is the basic unit of society, the first training ground. Until the homes have more regard for God's intent for the home, we can only expect the situation to continue and to grow worse. The church is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. Unless the church maintains a strong stance for the truth and against error, it renders itself useless for mankind. And why should the church be little more than just an echo of the sinful, materialistic, pleasure-seeking world? Who can possibly know what giant stands before our young? Changes occur so rapidly, and the world is unstable. Dare we send our children into it unprepared, an easy prey for the forces of the devil? We do not want to make the mistake of Saul and declare them unfit simply because they are young, but we must make sure they are prepared. And our task is before us, and our duty is clear. Satan is our foe, and God is our helper and strength, and our failure is the doom of our own flesh and blood. But our victory will result in the salvation of us all. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.